the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, the verses 1 through 28. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Corinthians 15, the first 28 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And now if Christ be preached, that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Kyle DeCock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the creator and the upholder thereof, then it is in the way of thy providence and in the way of thy great mercy that thou wast granted unto us and our children that we may see the light of another day. Then thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day. And then each Lord's Day we may remember and commemorate that the Lord is risen indeed. And now the King sitteth at thy right hand, from thence he gathereth, he defends, and he preserves his church, which thy dear Son has purchased with his precious blood, which he has shed. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant a humble and a broken heart. Then on another Lord's Day, then we are called to meditate the past week, what thou hast done and what we have done. And thou hast done nothing but good. Then thou hast bestowed so many gifts so liberally and so undeservedly upon us. Then thou continuest under the solemn circumstances in thy speaking. Then thou hast still placed a fiery wall round about us. Thou wast not taken one away out of the midst of the congregation by the cold hand of death. We have all received an other extension because we are all lying under the sentence of death. Thou hast said the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Ah, should it then not be a wonder for such a sinful and such an unthankful people that we may still have a place upon the earth? Ah, that the wonder may become a wonder by the first time and by renewal. And now thou granteth in this morning hour that the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal, and that in this morning hour that a few more may come up to thy courts. But the most of the congregation, they are still called upon to remain in their dwellings. Lord, for those that may come up after many weeks in their dwellings, may it be a wonder to them. Well, thou grant a humble and a broken heart to all of us, and with a prayer that it may be a special and an unforgettable Lord's Day. And to that end, we humbly ask thee, Lord, we beg of thee, we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great, they are manifold. Of self we can bring forth nothing that God dishonoring unbelief. But may in this morning hour, may our eyes be upon thee. And to that end we humbly beg of thee, for a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, that in these solemn times, that many may be converted. Lord, we all stand in need of the same thing. Tis a solemn thought for one of us to have to spend that never-ending eternity in hell. But thou wast promised to gather a church by word and by spirit. Wilt thou do it in this very hour, that poor sinners may be pricked in their heart, that they may begin to cry after thee, that they may be placed under thy glorious banner. May it be heard that many sons and daughters, young and old, may be born in Zion. Wilt thou uncover when there are those that are building upon sandy foundations. But, Lord, remember also thy people. And may they have begged of thee in this morning hour, for a visit from above. Then after the resurrection of thy dear son, then thou wast visited thy church, thou wast being a surprising God. The circumstances, they were all so different. And thou knowest thy people, their condition where they are encamped. But when thou cometh over, then thou bringeth all along. And to that end, may it be for instruction. May it be for comfort. May it be for encouragement. May it be for strengthening. Because thy children, they have to learn that they have no strength against that triple-headed enemy. Then thy child of old, thy servant in the scriptures, then he has declared, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? And then another child in the scripture, the psalmist, my soul cleaveth to the dust, but quicken me according to thy word. And then with that lion who goes about as a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light, and they have to say, with the Jehoshaphat as of old, we have no power against all these enemies, but it is declared in the scriptures, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth, Lord. Remember thy church all over the earth. Remember all thy servants, elders, deacons, evangelists, missionaries, the sowers of the seed. Then we commend unto thee those parents of father and mother whom thou wast blessed, whom thou wast gladdened in the past week with the birth of a little daughter. Then thou wast spared life, and then thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a humble place at thy footstool, and may the prayers be multiplied, that it may be a little child for thee, a little child that may be born to be born again. We remember all the unborn with the mothers, wilt thou watch over them, and remember also the barren ones. We commend unto thee all those that mourn the loss of dear ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children, parents and other loved ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them, and that out of that mourning, that true mourning for our sin may be born. Remember and continue to uphold our elderly ones, also under the circumstances, isolated and undoubtedly lonely, but may they be given to fold their hands, and that thou may grant them a visit, whether in the care home or whether in their homes. We commend unto thee the sick and afflicted, those with serious diseases. Wilt thou remember them all with the sick relatives? Remember the crosses and the burdens. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee to continue to provide for the daily bread, for the family circles under the circumstances, under the multiplied fears and concerns. May that petition receive more value in all of our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee, Thou wilt grant the subjects, the thoughts, the words, and that with liberty and freedom we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. And remember the hearers, remember those that may gather in thy house in this morning hour. Oh, do go from bench to bench, but remember the many that are called upon to be in their dwellings, the family circles, when they may listen along. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the Satan? Wilt thou grant a little rest, and that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and thy worthy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 15, the three stanzas. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim, in the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. And what follows? Psalter 15, the three stanzas. Morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Corinthians 15, the 7th verse, the first part, where God's word and our text reads thus: After that, he was seen of James. Our text words speak of the appearance of the resurrected Christ to James. With four thoughts in the first place, the time of this appearance. In the second place, the person in this appearance. In the third place, the need for this appearance. And in the fourth place, the fruits upon this appearance. The appearance of the resurrected Christ to James. The time of this appearance, the person in this appearance, the need for this appearance, and the fruits upon this appearance. A beloved congregation, then in this chapter, then the apostle, then he is given to write to the church of Corinth concerning the blessing of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he is given to declare that if Christ had not resurrected, then his preaching would be in vain, because then even our children can understand it. If Christ had still been in the grave, what would Paul have to tell the congregations? But now with the resurrection of Christ, then he may declare that he is the living Savior, and that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Then the apostle, then he is given to declare that if Christ had not resurrected, that also the faith of the church would be in vain. And now at the beginning of this chapter, then we have heard it. Then he is given to declare, has mentioned some of the appearances of Jesus Christ to his church. And in our text then we read after that. Thus those words refer after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, then Christ, as that greater Joseph with yearning bowels, then he had such a vehement desire to appear, to reveal himself unto his children. Oh, to declare that he has indeed resurrected, that he is the living Savior. Then in our text, when we read after that, that refers to the verses 5 and 6, and that he was seen of Cephas. When we consider the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people, then there were three individuals, Mary Magdalene, Peter also called Cephas, and also James in our text. Then of the 12, in verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Thus when we read in our text words, in verse 7, after that, that refers especially to those 500 brethren. Thus, when we consider these last verses, then the apostle is given to speak of the latter appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. And then undoubtedly, it is not all written. When we read of this appearance to those 500 brethren, then undoubtedly it was in Galilee, because Christ before his death, then he has said unto his church that after his resurrection he would appear unto them in Galilee, and also the angels on the morning of the resurrection. Then they have said to the women that he would appear before them in Galilee. And it is the general thought that these appearances in our text, that they were toward the end. Usually when our fathers have listed the appearances in chronological order, then the appearance on the mount on Galilee in Matthew 28 to the disciples, where he has said unto me, all power is given in heaven and upon earth, where he has given those disciples their divine commission to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that perhaps that at that time that Jesus has instructed the disciples that they may gather those brethren together, that he may appear unto them. O congregation, what a meeting that must have been. 500 brethren, 500 saints, 500 souls whom Christ has purchased by his precious blood. And then there was not a Judas among them. And now when we read of that appearance, then what a comfort that is for the church of God. And in which way is it a comfort? Oh, especially for sowers of the word. If we think of the ministry of Jesus, then how often we read that many of his hearers did not believe on him. Oh, it is true they have followed him for the miracles and for the bread. But do we not read in John 6, when he spoke that he was the bread of life, that he must eat of his flesh, then we read that many no longer followed him, and that he even said to his disciples, wilt thou also go away? When we think of the 10 lepers whom Jesus has healed, boys and girls, How many have returned to give thanks? Only one. Then Jesus has also experienced. And there has never preached any like him. I read in Matthew 7, verse 29, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that he spoke with power and with authority. They have tried to stone him. They have tried to crucify him. Thus, many times in the Gospels, under that precious preaching, then we do not read of so many, it is true, different places. There were more. But now, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, now we meet with 500 brethren that have been converted. What a wonder and what a comfort for the sowers of the word. We are in the springtime, and then when the farmers, you know that, boys and girls, your father is a farmer, and he has sowed a field. Then not so long thereafter, maybe he takes the whole family along for a ride, for a walk, and to look upon that field if it is turning green. And if now your father would not see any growth, everything barren, then he would become very sad and very concerned. And how is it now with the church? Nevertheless, the Lord has promised in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that his word shall not return void unto him. And many times, then there is heard of the fruits after the death of the sower. So it was also here. Then for many, for the disciples, maybe many times they wondered, so little fruit. But now with this appearance, 500 brethren at once. What a blessed company. And then at this moment, many were still living. Thus they were witnesses. They could tell their neighbor that Christ is risen indeed, and that he has appeared unto him, unto them. But then they have added, but then it is added, but some are fallen asleep. What a tender word. It is true in Daniel 12, verse 2, when it speaks of the soul sleeping, then it refers to all dead people. But in the scriptures, how often it is mentioned concerning God's people, their death, asleep. The daughter of Jairus, when Jesus has come, and then he said, weep not, for she sleepeth. And also concerning Lazarus, in John 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Is that not a comforting word? The death of God's people. And boys and girls, at night, when we go to bed to sleep, and perhaps we are weary, then what a blessing to have a bed, and then we hope to awake. That is the words the apostle uses in the verse before our text. 500 brethren visited. These verses, they speak of the resurrected Christ visiting his people. And now if the Lord grants it, then on Thursday we hope to commemorate the glorious resurrection, the glorious ascension of Christ into heaven. Then we are coming closer to the end of the church year, which begins with the time of Advent. And are there now troubled souls in my midst? Boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones. Have you cried unto the Lord that you have said, Ach, Lord, Now we already so far in the church year have experienced, commemorated Good Friday, the resurrection for us people, and I am still unconverted. May that become reality, and that you have also bent your knees and say, "Ach, Lord, Thou art speaking in such a special way over the whole world. I've never experienced something like this in my life. Much of the world has come to a standstill. Even the sanctuary is so empty. And, oh Lord, still unconverted. And if we have to die, then it shall not be a sleeping, but it shall be terrible. And what shall that awakening be? Our soul already in hell, and then body and soul. Christ has visited His people, people of God. How is it now? A few more days, we hope to commemorate the ascension of Christ. Have we also received a visit, a spoken word the Lord has dropped into our soul? Is there a need for a visit? And that can be in so many different ways. We hope to hear that in our later point. But is there also a soul that has a need for a further leading? It is so necessary for poor sinners come to a knowledge of the Savior, the crucifixion, oh, the resurrection, but also, oh, what a rich matters. May the Lord grant a richer time with the ascension to be brought back to the Father heart of God, the opening of the gates of heaven. After that, he was seen of James. Our second thought, the person in this appearance. Then, of course, the question is, who was meant in our text by James? Because our children even know that there are different James spoken of in the Bible. Then we mention James, the brother of John, a son of Zebedee, who was chosen to be a disciple. He was a fisher. He was chosen to be a disciple. He received a large place in the circle of the disciples. There were circumstances that James, together with John and Peter, that they have experienced special things. Think of the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. But that James was no longer living. Because in Acts 12, then Herod has killed the apostle by the sword. When we read of the disciples of the 12, then there were two with the name of James. The other one was James, the son of Alphaeus, a thought also in one place to be called James the Less, cannot be proven, but that is the general thought. But of that James, very obscure, very little written of that James in the Scripture. And then it is clear in this chapter, when Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, that he was speaking of people that were known in the church. And to that end, when we read in our text, after that he was seen of James, that it refers to James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of thy James in Matthew 15, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joses, and Simon, and Judas. And his sisters, are they not with us? Thus that text speaks of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children born to Mary and to Joseph. It is true. That word brother in the Greek language, that has a broader meaning than in our day. It can refer to cousins, family members, and indeed, even in the beginning of 400, there was a church leader by the name of Jerome, and he has translated the Bible into Latin, that is the Vulgate, that's the Bible, that has been used in the church for many years before the time of the Reformation. That is the Bible of the Roman Catholic Church. And that church leader has brought about the thought that these mentioned that they were only cousins. But we read in Luke 2 of Mary concerning Jesus that she brought forth her firstborn son. Thus then it is clear in the scriptures that they were natural brothers and sisters. We must read the scripture as it is written. And now concerning those brethren, then we read that they have followed the Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry. Already with the first marriage in John 2 verse 12, when Jesus was present, because we read they were invited, Jesus and his disciples. And then we read, after this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. In Galatians 1 verse 19, Paul has written, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Thus then it is clear in the scriptures there are more places where he is mentioned. In Acts 12 verse 17, when Peter was delivered out of prison in a marvelous way by the angel, that the command was given that James must also be told. We also read of him in Acts 15, Acts 21. And then further, but how was it now with those brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ? How was it with James? He was the oldest of those four boys. What that must have been for that family to have Jesus in their midst, living with them, walking with them. And how was it now with James? How is it with us, young and old, boys and girls? But then you shall say, but that is different. It is different. But Jesus also walks amongst us with the preaching of the Holy Word. We may hear of his miracles, the wonderful things he has done. We have heard of his birth, heard of his crucifixion, of his resurrection, and now in this morning, that he visits his people. Then the question is, how is it with us? Because we shall hear what James, he was religious. He was not reckless. He was not worldly. Because when Jesus has done his miracles and taught, then it is evident in different places in the scriptures that that family has followed Jesus. Undoubtedly, they were given to be wonder his many miracles. They were even concerned about him. Because we read in Mark 3 verse 20 that Jesus was so busy serving and that he had not so much time even to eat bread. And then his friends heard it, including his family, that they said he was besides himself, and then they had a desire that they would speak to their brother, and that they would tell him that he must not be, maybe take it a little easier, take time to eat at least. Nevertheless, it is clear, they have seen, that his brother was someone that has done very special things, has taught matters that they could not understand. They have bewondered him, but they have not needed and seen him as the Savior for sinners. That is very clear written in the Scriptures. After John 6, the verses 66 through 69, when many have left and Christ said to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" Then Peter has said, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, I hope that may be impressed upon all of our hearts." But then we read in John 7, verse 5, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Thus there it is clearly written. His brothers, his family, they have followed him. Place in church was not empty. They have bewondered the many miracles he has done. They have even recommended that he would go down to Judea, to Jerusalem, that they may also see his wonders. Thus they had a desire that all people in Canaan may see what their brother was doing, what he was teaching. Thus respect. And yet, James and those brethren, they have never become a poor sinner. They did not need Jesus as their Savior. Maybe many in this morning say, "That is now exactly my picture." Still glad to hear that. That you have respect for God's holy word. That you are not seeking in the world, that you trample upon his word, is a blessing, privilege. But if we remain as James was, when it said he believed not in him, then we are still for our own account. But now the wonder. And that is the wonder and the comfort in our text. After that, he was seen of James. Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? For those brethren and those sisters, all they have received a special place. And I read in Luke 12, verse 48, "Unto whom much is given, much shall be required." In congregation, boys and girls, then we can actually be compared to James. If we think of the multitudes, most in the world, they are not under the truth. So many that do not even have or read the Bible. When the Bible is read, the church, and the family, children, one would read it personally, then we may hear the same what those brothers of Jesus have heard. But James believed not. Our third thought, the need for this appearance. After the resurrection of Christ, then he has not appeared to the world. But then he has appeared to his people. And now the Lord by His Spirit, because the Lord does not waste His grace, He makes room for such a visit. How has it been in this morning? For many, after 8 weeks, then you may have a place in God's house. Most of the others are still in their home. May it be a special service. And have you cried that the Lord may also visit you with His favor in this very morning hour? After that, He was seen of James. Then it is evident that a great wonder, a supernatural wonder of grace, has taken place in the life of James. And, when we read of James, that is also an encouragement. We have such small thoughts of the Lord. Families, may you be given to ask great things, because it is evident that all the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, including those sisters, they were all converted by the Lord unto the Lord. Can we prove that? Oh, yes. In Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, then we read of a church gathered together in one accord in prayer and supplication. And then we read, disciples were present, there were 120, but also Mary and the brethren. Thus that means that at a certain time, it's not all written in the Bible, but that the Lord, that family was wrought upon, and that they were converted. Then we read in Luke 23, verse 49, when it concerns the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is very clear that His family was present, because we read, and all His acquaintance and the women that followed Him from Galilee stood afar off. So what that must have been for the family, for those brothers and sisters. James was the oldest. Of course, Jesus was the oldest, but after Jesus. And that they have seen that their eldest brother was nailed on the cross. And now the wonder of grace, that the family of Jesus, that they were given to experience by the precious work of the Holy Spirit, that He would become their eldest brother in a spiritual sense. Because their eldest brother, He was from eternity, no beginning. He was from everlasting. He was the natural Son of God. But now by grace, that those brethren, that they would become adopted children, also children of God, that Jesus would become that eldest brother. When has that now happened? It is not written in the Bible. Perhaps they have experienced much, of course. And for James, he has went through a deep and trying way. It is very evident from the Scriptures that with the crucifixion, that Joseph was no longer alive. And in Bible times, when the father died, then the oldest son would take that responsibility over. Many blessings with the oldest son, but also a great responsibility. And what that must have been for James with the third crossword when the Lord Jesus Christ has said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." And, "Son, behold thy mother." Then James was excluded. Then Jesus did not say to James, "Take care of my mother." Gave that responsibility to disciple John. What that must have been cannot be different. What that must have been for James. And then after that crossword, 3-hour darkness, and then an earthquake. The Lord, it's not all written in the Bible, it is clear in our text that James, and out of Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, that James has been converted. Oh, he was given to see that he stood outside his guilt. And now when the Lord converts a person, and to that end, what a blessing it is, boys and girls, when the Lord converts us early, then we do not have such a long life to look back on as a James, even though we were religious, that we have not lived to the honor of God. Now when the Lord stops us and he brings his life all back, also our family life, also with brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is when in the family circle there may be a brother or sister that may fear the Lord. It's a great privilege and a great blessing. Oh, what has happened before, that the Lord in a family circle, that when the Lord has converted one, that the Lord has used for another brother and sister to bring them into the need. It says in Jeremiah 3 verse 14, two of a family and one of a city. Happened many times that for a brother and sister that it was used, that they were brought in the need, afraid, because brother and sister were taken, that it shall not be possible for them. When we think of James, then how it must have been brought back, everything, what he has experienced. Such a brother in the family, and maybe sometime not so nice. William Carey, the missionary to India. Oh, we could tell many stories, but this is not the place. He had two sisters, Mary and Anna. Very close with Mary. But when the Lord converted William, then Mary had thought that William was too strict and too self-righteous and too zealous. But our brother was bound in a special way upon his heart, his sisters Mary and Anna. And the Lord has heard his prayers. They were both converted. Think of Pilgrim's Progress, of Christina. Oh, she had not treated her husband so nice and so gently. She was not willing to go with him to leave the city of destruction. She loved her sins in that city too much with her boys. But then we later read that that has become guilt and that she has also left. Thus, for James, cannot be different. When the Spirit works, then He brings our life back. Then many bitter tears are wept. Then James was also given to experience that he has rejected his brother as the God-given Savior. And now we have seen that Jesus has died, but He was also resurrected. And then it cannot be different. Oh, that James had a desire to meet Jesus, his brother, to speak about these things and to ask for forgiveness. After that, he was seen of James. And now James has undoubtedly heard that many in the church have received a visit. Oh, Mary Magdalene, how she has wept. Heart full of love, has heard of Peter, two travelers to Emmaus, the disciples on the evening of the resurrection, 8 days later with Thomas, also the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and because it is written here, we believe in chronological order, 500 brethren after that, he was seen of James. Thus it seems to tell us that the visit of James, that was shortly before the ascension, what that must have been for James, day after day, and week after week, weeping many bitter tears. Oh, when he has heard of those other visits for a child of God, what an encouragement it can be when they hear that another child has received a special visit. At other times it can make them so discouraged, because then the enemy says, and that unbelief within, do you now see? 'Tis clear that you do not belong to that people and that you shall never receive a visit. For you it is lost. But now the wonder in our text. After that, he was seen of James. Those visits, they are sovereign by the Lord's appointment for a needy people. And all that need, is there still a soul in my midst that really needs a visit? Cannot do without the Lord. Cannot do without a visit. Are there souls whom in this past week have mightily cried unto the Lord for a visit from heaven? And that can be, the needs can be so manifold. Oh, for a sinful people with that burden upon their back, too heavy to bear, afraid that it shall sink them into hell. Oh, for another one so bowed down like that woman in Luke 13. Oh, for another one that is so ignorant in heavenly ways that needs a little instruction. For another one that has so many riddles and so many perplexities. Oh, it can be for another one that is sick of love, as the bride in the Song of Solomon, that is given to beg for a visit from above. Ah, for a James, shall the Lord then leave him with his need? No, we read in our text, after that he was seen of James. Let us first sing. Psalter 290, the stanzas 2 through 5. What tongue can tell his mighty deeds, his wondrous works and ways? Oh, who can show his glory forth or utter all his praise? Psalter 290, 2 through 5. The appearance of the resurrected Christ to James, the time, the person, the need, And now fourthly, the fruits or the blessings upon this appearance. When we have spoken of the needs for an appearance, then we also read in the scriptures of those whom the Lord has stirred up to serve in His vineyard. And then there can be so many impossibilities and so much strife with the devil. That is another people that needs a visit. That is harassed by the devil. Think of Paul in 2 Corinthians. A word is written with that thorn in the flesh that the messenger of Satan has buffeted him. And then he received a visit. My grace is sufficient for thee. When we think of Moses, different prophets, before they were sent out, they received a visit. And now concerning after that, he was seen of James. When the Lord visits His people, think of the examples in the scriptures. Mary Magdalene, then what a comfort she has received when Jesus has mentioned her name. Think of those travelers to Emmaus, when He was revealed to them in the breaking of bread. Then they were given to reflect upon their burning hearts. And then with gladness and joy, then they returned to Jerusalem. Think of the disciples in the evening when Christ has visited them in closed doors. Then two times He has declared, "Peace be unto you." Think of a Thomas 8 days later when Christ has shown unto him His pierced hands. Then he was given to see that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there was forgiveness for Thomas, also for the great sin of his unbelief. And now for James, of that meaning, oh, so tender. We have said there have been three personal meetings written in the scriptures. Of Mary Magdalene, there is written what has transpired. Of Peter, nothing. In Luke 24, verse 34, they were given to say, "The church gathered, He is risen indeed, and has been seen of Simon," mentioned in this chapter. And after that He was seen of James. Then we do not read what was spoken, what has transpired. But when the church receives a visit, then it works out bewilderment, then it works humility, and then it works praise. And now a special fruit, because of James, then it is very evident that he has received a special place in the church of Jesus Christ. We have mentioned already in Acts 12 that when Peter was delivered by an angel out of prison, that the direction was given that the church must be told, but also James. In Galatians 2 verse 9, then we read, when Paul went up to Jerusalem, no, in Acts 15, then already we read, when there was a synod in Jerusalem, that James had a large place of leadership. In Galatians 2, verse 9, we read of James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars in the church. What do we mean, boys and girls, when we read of pillars in the church? Then we must picture in Bible lands, it was not so cold there, And sometime you had buildings not with walls, but with pillars that held the roof. And then you can understand, boys and girls, when a pillar would be taken away, then that structure would become weaker. Then it was necessary that such a pillar would be replaced. If that did not happen, and pillars kept falling away, then eventually the roof will come down. Thus the necessity of pillars. Therefore the necessity that among our youth, the Lord may convert our boys, that they may become pillars in the church, and our girls, pillars in the home. Thus then it is clear that James, the brother of Jesus, that he received a special place in the midst of the church, that he was given to preach and lead the congregations. And then the first verse in the book of James, there it is written, James, as servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, believed to be the James in our text, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had been a disciple, an apostle, he would have mentioned it. Thus he became a servant, a humble servant of his great master. What a wonderful text, congregation, not so long after that he was seen of James. The brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ, the natural brothers and sisters, they have lived with Jesus. They have seen his miracles, heard his preaching. Oh, undoubtedly, there were times that their conscience has spoken that Jesus was more than an ordinary prophet. Maybe they've tried to suppress those feelings, not to think about them. Do we also do that, congregation? That is very dangerous. When the Lord grants convictions, then it is good to come in a secret place and ask the Lord to work savingly. But now the wonder for James was his eldest brother in a natural sense. But he has experienced that Jesus has become his eldest brother in a spiritual sense. Through his meritorial work as the Son of God, that his eldest brother, the natural Son of God, that he has taken the sins of James, of those brethren, upon him. And therefore James may go free. And to that end, after that, he was seen of James. We have mentioned it already. The whole family converted. There's work to do on our knees, fathers and mothers, office bearers. May it please the Lord. For the family of Jesus, the Lord has used special things, crucifixion, everything that surrounded it, because it is clear that it has happened. Before that we read, they believed not in him. Before the ascension they were gathered together. Then the Lord has used special happenings, the life of the family circle, of course, accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. And now in our days, then the Lord is also speaking in special ways. May our prayer be that may be used that we may experience. And now concerning that visit. For that first visit, then there is not one upon the earth that asks for such a visit in truth and uprightness. Of course, boys and girls, you ask for a new heart. But the natural heart does not want to be saved through that eldest brother. We are too proud. Also, James and those brethren, they were self-righteous. They did not need Jesus as their Savior. But now the necessity. Oh, the wonder. Speaking about that first visit. The Lord grants that visit when He converts us. And then the prayers are multiplied that the Lord may visit us. Different ways, different circumstances, different needs. The prayers in that further led church, they shall be different than at the beginning. But all the church, they have a desire to receive a visit. The psalmist has said in Psalm 106, verse 4, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. After that, he was seen of James. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then we have heard of the wonders of free and sovereign grace. And Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ah, may it please Thee in a rich measure to magnify those wonders amongst us and our children. Oh, Lord, may it please Thee in this day to visit the unconverted with Thy grace, with Thy mercy, with the work of Thy Spirit. And where Thou hast begun, ah, grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. And it is also the work of the Spirit to make room for a visit each time by renewal. Ah, Thou wast left in the midst of Thy church an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Lord, we humbly beg of Thee, do then a great work amongst us. Ah, remember all the family circles. May there be a storming of the throne of grace, a wrestling with Thee, that may please Thee to grant a revival amongst us. Watch over us in this day. May we be given to keep Thy Sabbath day holy, and gather us round about Thy holy word in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 387, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before His face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. We announce to the congregation that the Lord willing, there will be an Ascension Day service this coming Thursday evening at 7 p.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Psalter 387, 1, 4, 5, and 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.